Every single week we get new calls and texts from people just like you and me who've got an old, possibly valuable car in their garage. Because Tasmania is literally full of old classic cars. They're not all valuable, but there's definitely some that will surprise you. And furthermore, some of them are skyrocketing in value. You could be shocked if you actually get cracking. Send a text message now. You'll find out what your dusty old car in the bush or the back shed might actually be worth. So at least be prepared to be surprised. Text now. You'll go to the front of the line. I'm talking to Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets between now and 8:30 tonight. So what we need, if you want to find out, we need the make, the model, the colour, the kilometres and the condition. And if you can't remember all of that, just text a lot of stuff about the car, just so we've got lots of information. The text number is 0438 922 936, or you can also call on 1300 222 936. Mark Haybittle is a specialist agency from Supercar Secrets. They deal with private collectors and they value stuff and a range of other things. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good. How's your week been so far?
Oh, fantastic and busy all at the same time.
Interestingly, so why has it been so busy? I mean, I believe that property values are dropping in parts of Australia. I mean, is that impacting people's ability to buy expensive cars? How does it affect that?
Well, it works the other way around, actually, because certainly in the, since I spoke to you last, this time last week, we've had an absolute onslaught of people that have been maybe a little panicked by Australian Financial Review story that came out at the beginning of this week, that was highlighting that the values of properties in Narrabeen, which is a suburb of Sydney in the northern beaches of Sydney, had dropped 24.5%.
Yeah, that is an alarming drop.
It is, in just a year. And you know, during that period of time, our cars, on an average, even for the really poor performers, have risen about 32.4%. So we've risen what they've lost, if that makes sense.
Kind of, but the only bit I don't understand is if they've lost 24% off the value of their house, how can they then afford to go and buy a classic car? Where do the dots join?
Yeah, well, it's not the same people. So a lot of these people that are sort of starting to experience massive losses in their properties, they may well not be the people that are switching across to cars. What we're finding is that it's all the sort of hardcore investors, if you like, that are just switching their smart
makes
money.
Makes sense. If you like. Yeah. So if they're cashed up, they're not buying property. Yeah.
That's right. So they've sold all their properties at the height of the boom. You know, 12 months ago or 10 months ago, 10 to 12 months ago, they've sold up, and they've now got plenty of cash, but they've got nowhere to put it. So everyone's gravitating towards classic cars now because there's really nothing else, is there? I mean, property's going to be down for the next 7 to 10 years. Stock market is shaky at best, and probably an average return on the stock market would be about 5% if you do really well. You know, and we're posting sort of minimum 32% every year with what we do. So people are just streaming to us at the moment. And I think it was fueled largely by that article in the Australian Financial Review, you know, earlier this week.
Everybody's scared, yeah. So what sort of cars were they ringing up about? Were they saying, have you got any Aston Martins and Maseratis? What were they mostly chasing?
No, sadly, they weren't. They weren't actually talking about any car in particular. They were just wanting to invest with us, and most of them have now since the beginning of the week, just so that we can pick the cars, because, as you know, we know which cars are going to go before they rise. So none of them were being specific. They were just wanting to invest and keen to get into a rising market, you know.
Let's have a chat about some of our car techs that are coming in thick and fast. John from Ulverston says he's got a 1972 Chrysler Valiant Charger. I guess you're going to know all about this model. It's an RTE49, not restored but in good condition with low Ks.
Well, those cars are worth an absolute fortune these days. Those charges, you know, they've come from a very, very low base of sort of, you know, $20,000-$30,000, but a fully restored one now in mint condition is around 200K.
Ooh, 200K. So, this was not restored, but in good condition.
No, that's right. So in unrestored condition, it's a little bit hard to say without seeing it and without knowing how much would have to be spent on it to get it up to, mint condition. So it's easier to sort of say, well, look, if it was done and restored, it would be 200, and then you work back from that. So meaning that if you've got to spend
50 to restore it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But normally it works, certainly with the restorations that we do, normally we'd expect to maybe put 50 or 60 into a car like that, and then maybe it would owe us all up about 100 or 120, but it would be worth 200. So there'd be an 80K uplift in that, you know?
If anyone's got a car, they want to know the value, 0438 922 936. That's the number you need to text right now. Ralph has got a Holden X Sandman. It's a windowless panel van. It's done 420,000 Ks, 1976 model.
Wow. Sandmans. Like, when was the last time you saw a Sandman?
A long
on the road,
time. I think it was on a movie. I can't remember.
Mad Max was the Sandman van. And what a van. They are so rare now. And yet there were so many of them around. That's an HX. And really, sadly, the only thing against it's the kilometres, because if the kilometres weren't as high as they are, it's sort of, getting on for half a million kilometres, that would be about a $100,000 van. They are big money now for Sandmans, particularly if they've got the Sandman riding on the back. You may remember, Carly, that when the Sandmans were around, that they actually used to have Sandman written on the rear tailgate. It was great.
Mary in the Huon Valley is hoping that her grandpa's old Humber Super Snipe is worth something. She says it is old, but she's not sure what year. It's only done 20,000 Ks and it's in good original condition.
Yeah, look, the Humbers, those Super Snipes are just such a lovely car. All leather upholstery, wood grain dash, wood door cappings, just such a beautiful car. In a sense, they probably should be worth more. But they're not worth a huge amount of money, but that one with only 20,000 Ks on the clock could be worth between 38 and 40 K.
That's quite a bit.
An ordinary one would probably be about 25 grand, if it had more Ks on the clock type thing.
Another one here from Tim. Tim's got a VW 1600 Type 3. He says it's a notchback.
Notchback, that's what they are.
He said wondering if it's gone up much in value.
Not a huge amount. They're not one of the great rises. I mean, they've risen in line with just general classic cars in general. So they're up to about 25K for a notchback Type 3 now. And they've come from a low base of sort of, $12,000, $13,000. But they haven't sort of raced up the charts like the Beatles that we talked about the other week, Carly.
And somebody else has texted in, they haven't left their name, and they want to know about Honda Preludes and Legends, but they haven't really kind of given any grand details about whether they've got one or what year it is. They're just referring to older models. Maybe they're looking at buying something and want to know if it's a good deal.
Yeah, look, Honda Preludes, there's three versions of those, and they just evolved over the years, and they got to the culmination of the last one, which had four-wheel steer and a lot of other great benefits. They started to really go, particularly the early ones, the Mark 1s, which were derived off a Honda Civic. They've started to really shoot up the charts. Now, 25 to 26K for one of those, for one of the really early ones. The later ones are not quite booming as much yet, but they will. And the Honda Legends, they're an extremely rare car and a beautiful car. V6 engine, lots of luxury. About 40K for a really nice Legend with low Ks.
Now, what about the old Minis? This is not from a texter. This is actually me asking this. My gorgeous old grandmother, who passed away some years back at the age of 90, used to have a bright yellow, really old Mini. So not the new version, but the ones that, the little square cute ones, the Mr. Bean style ones.
Well, those original ones, Carly, they are worth an absolute fortune now. The Mark 1, which was basically from 1960 through to 67. Those little Mark 1s, they're worth, well, it's easier to tell you in English pounds and then convert, because that's where the big money is for them. They're about £40,000 now, which is getting on for $70,000 to $80,000 Australian dollars.
No, wow, that's amazing. Because just never seemed valuable at the time.
That's the thing with all these cars, Colin. These are all the cars that I was driving around in myself over the years, and at the time, we were buying them for $500, $600 or $1,000 or whatever. At the time they felt valueless. You just park them on the side of the street and forget about them because they weren't worth anything.
Yeah. But what about the old now? Yes, that's incredible, those prices. And what about the old V dubs? The typical, old Beetles that you see some of them done up, the ones with the engine at the front. They'd be quite valuable as well, wouldn't they?
Well, if you're talking about the original Beetles, Kylie, remember we talked about these a couple of weeks ago and we were both astonished to find that they're sitting on about 60K now on car sales.
But that'd have to be one in incredible condition though, wouldn't it?
Oh, not really. The two that we looked at that you and I discussed, one of them had some restoration work done on it. The other one was just a very good original one, but not outstanding. It wasn't outstanding at all.
And we haven't talked about combi vans, have we? What are they sort of fetching? Because you see some really nice ones driving around Hobart, and anyone that seems to be at the wheel looks as though they're very happy with themselves, especially when they're all shiny and restored. They would fetch some money, I'm betting.
Oh, look, the combi thing is a complete cult all of its own. Like, it's literally cult following. And, it's a worldwide thing. And if you get the early ones, the really early ones from 1954 to 57, there's one called the 23 window, and the last one that sold was only about 8 months ago in Melbourne. It sold for $336,000.
A crummy old car. I mean, I shouldn't say that.
Wow.
But, but they're not amazing to drive, are they?
They're not amazing at all to drive. They've got an engine which is less than 50 brake horsepower, so they'd have trouble pulling the skin off a rice pudding. And away from the lights, you're going to get beaten by every cyclist. But you know what? They're quaint, they're quirky, they may be slow, but they may take a long time to get there, an awfully long time to get up the hills, but they're nice and they're cute and they're rare, particularly the 23 window one, as its name suggests, has 23 windows because it's got all the small windows up above the roof line. And very, very rare. You can't find them. So that's what gives it the value.
I bet you anything somebody in Tasmania has got one of those. If you have one and you just don't want to divulge your name, we just want to know, does anybody have one of those rare combis or even just a beautifully done up combi? I want to start talking combis now. So text 0438 922 936. Now, is there a car that's in high demand but it's really hard to source in your line of work?
Absolutely. Basically anything Japanese at the current moment, and I'm talking Evolution Lancers, Skyline GDRs, Silvias, 200 SX Nissans, those sorts of cars. They're the ones that just people are just absolutely going nuts over. And the reason for that is because they've come onto the radar of all the people that collect classic cars like ourselves and invest in classic cars like we do. But the interesting thing is that as Australians, we all loved Japanese cars the first time around when they were first, a big thing. So when Nissan 200 SXs and RX 7s were a big thing, 30 odd years ago, and all the young kids went out and bought them, they've all now grown up, had kids, had the family, done all that. And now they just want their RX-7s and their Nissan Silvias back and their 200 SXs. So there's kind of two markets driving it. There's the sort of, should we call it the petrol head market and the collector market. So you've got two markets driving it now. It's very interesting.
And then what's an affordable sports car? Because you think about the, call it the Austin Healeys and the whatever all those different sporty, amazing, expensive cars are that no one can actually afford to buy unless they're a car collector with plenty of spare cash in the bank. But what's something that's either a Japanese car that's in a more affordable market that's a little bit older that isn't so cost prohibitive?
Well, last week, I think it was, Kylie, we talked about the Triumph Spitfires, and they're starting to rise in value now, and they've come from a base of sort of $12,000 or $13,000. They've never been worth very much. They're just starting to rise now, and they're just starting to accelerate past the MGs. And they're a great little car.
But aren't they probably awful to drive, and you've got to take it to the mechanic every sort of 2 months because it's getting all rickety? And is that a bit of an issue with those cars?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you sort of, if you need to know cars yourself, or you need to know someone that can tinker with them, because I did have one of my good friends. Well, she's a good friend stroke investor, and she had a green Triumph Spitfire that she bought off her own volition, and I must admit, I ended up with it at our place very often, because we did have to do lots of work on that car for her, and she called me from far off places where she got to so that we could organise a tow truck to bring it back.
So she'd be driving around in her Triumph end up needing you to sort of tow it to places to get fixed. Oh, that doesn't sound ideal.
I think two out of the five times I managed to fix it over the phone for her and tell her what to do, but the other three times, you know, there was no way out. It was all over. It was on the tow truck and back to my place, you know.
Oh, that sounds scary. Now, what about then sporty cars that are not old and tinkery and, you know, likely to need the tow truck? There must be more recent, I don't know, I can't even think, like the BMW X3. I'm not an expert on all that stuff.
Yeah, Kylie, you know what the one that would be absolutely reliable and is rising in value would be the Mazda MX-5, the very first one.
I know exactly the one. Yeah, but they're quite cute, the round-looking ones, aren't they?
Yeah, these are the ones with the pop-up headlights. They're called the Mazda MX-5 NA. Now, they came off a base of like $5,000 or $6,000 about 18 months ago. They're now about $20,000, but they've stabilised at that value. And they're a great little car, like, and to be perfectly honest, I'd rather have one of those than a Spitfire, because they're completely reliable. You could drive them flat out everywhere all day and all night and you wouldn't break them.
And what sort of year are those cars?
They're 89 through to 92 for the NOs.
Oh, there you go. Interesting. Well, Mark, we'll have to leave it there. There's always more to talk about with classic cars. As you know, it is your line of work. But before we say goodbye, got a favourite song you want? I believe you've told my producer. What is it?
I most certainly have, yeah. Life in the Fast Lane by the Eagles. It just sort of sums up everything that I am, really.
Lovely to chat, Mark.
Fantastic. Good to speak to you, Kylie, and you have a great week now.
Thank you. This is Life in the Fast Lanes for Mark Habiddle from Supercar Secrets. It's by the Eagles.